and welcome to Ending Physician Overwhelm. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Mello. I'm a family and obesity medicine physician, as well as a certified life coach for physicians. In this podcast, we talk about how the learned habits of people-pleasing, perfectionism, and a lack of boundaries show up in our lives and how they contribute to burnout, exhaustion, and overwhelm. The healthcare system is broken, my friends, but let's not wait for it to be fixed in order to feel better.
So today I wanted to talk about something I keep seeing in my feed, which is the idea of quiet quitting. And if you've seen any social media posts about it, or you know, heard stories on NPR, New York Times, because I know we're nerdy like that, you may wonder where this term came from. And I had to look it up myself. Apparently originated from TikTok videos that people were posting. But quiet quitting is this idea that you don't actually quit, you don't actually resign your job, but you start really pulling yourself back and just kind of doing, you know, the minimum that's required. And I think I first saw this in an article where it was a teacher who was talking about how she had quiet quit several years ago. And so she went from, you know, someone who sounds like they were doing, you know, really the hard work that teachers do. She was, you know, spending her own money on school supplies, you know, which is a pretty common phenomenon in under-resourced schools and probably in over-resourced schools as well, to be honest. But she was really cutting back and, you know, no longer putting as much work into planning her lessons. She was, of course, making sure that she, you know, taught the required curriculum. But she was no longer grading every single, you know, test or assignment that came in. And she really talked about it from a place of feeling like no matter what she had done before, that it, you know, never kind of seemed like she was doing enough. You know, parents always seemed disappointed and upset and never really felt like she could win. And she felt like she was drowning. And so she really needed to cut back. And so I want to compare and contrast that idea with, you know, what I would say is more of healthy boundary setting and more really approaching the same ideas from a really different perspective. So, you know, when we think about these things, it's important to kind of drill down into, you know, a few key questions, because I've seen this come up in doctors' groups as well and discussions online. You know, what is quiet quitting versus healthy boundary setting? And so the first thing that I want to talk about with this is, you know, what is the primary driver for you or anyone else to be making changes in the way that you work? Are you making decisions that you want to be more efficient or effective, which are not quite the same things, you know, within your work, from a place of sufficiency, from a place of feeling like, you know, your knowledge and your skills and what you bring to work are enough, right? That's one way this could look, versus coming from a place of defeat, coming from a place of, you know, chronic sort of not enoughness, but being unwilling to do more and really feeling like you have to cut back or else you're going to completely drown and, you know, sort of slide under the water, as it were. So what is the driver for you to make changes? So, you know, where this might come up, for example, would be, you know, someone who really wants to work on their charting effectiveness. They really want to spend less time charting. You know, this might be, you know, kind of in my circles, this might be a woman physician, often in primary care, or some other, you know, non-procedural specialty often, where hours and hours are spent on charting after clinic, after patients have gone home, or, you know, perhaps after they're done admitting patients, if they're in a hospital setting. And often there is this, you know, chunk of work that gets done after the patients are gone. And then there is a travel home, you know, eat dinner, sometimes make dinner, you know, put the kids to bed, and then hopping back on the computer, right, to do several more hours of work. So someone who has been tending to work in that way could come to a place where they're making changes, either from a place of defeat, right? Of feeling like, oh, I'm working so hard. There's nothing more I can do. I might as well just, you know, kind of doing a half-assed job of my charts, versus someone who's saying, you know what, my time is valuable. I really want to learn to spend less time charting to make sure that I'm hitting all the key parts, but I'm going to really commit to making these changes, right? Those are, as you can see, sort of two different pathways. And one is really coming from a place of valuing themselves, valuing the work that they do, the skills and knowledge that they have, and wanting to be more effective at spending less time with the documentation, with the administrative parts of their work, versus someone who feels like they've got nothing more to give and they kind of don't care, right? So what is the primary driver for the change? The next thing I would have us think about is, you know, when we think about sort of your workload, is the workload that you're doing actually mandated? That is, you're required to do it. You're required to do it at that volume, or, you know, for that amount of time, or, you know, kind of any number of ways that can look in medicine, right? Sometimes we are shift workers, sometimes we are RVU based, or, you know, have a set schedule. There's a lot of different ways that turns out. So, you know, is the work that you're taking on mandated by your employer, or is it that you have been trained for many years in a competitive setting, in medical school and, you know, residency, where you're trying to distinguish yourself and you're relying on external validation? And along the way, you've acquired some habits of perfectionism and some strong beliefs about the way things should be, the way your work ought to be done. And as things have changed in medicine, as you've advanced kind of up the career spectrum, you have not adapted the way that you've worked from when you were creating, you know, really perfect, really beautiful notes as a student or as a resident or a fellow, to the way that it makes sense to work as an attending. So I see this quite a bit in, you know, people that I coach, or just women that I talk to in other physician circles, where no one is standing over their shoulder. No one is telling them that their notes need to be, you know, containing this, this, and this. But along the way, they have come to believe that complete sentences are really critical, that, you know, they need to include this, this, and this. Always that they need to have, you know, paragraphs about the social history, and, the note needs to look a certain way, and it needs to be a certain length. And, you know, we've sort of adopted that mindset, especially from when our notes were being reviewed when we were a student or a resident or a fellow, and now we're an attending and we're seeing far more patients, but we never adapted. Or another circumstance might be that there was a change in the number of patients that you were required to see per day. So perhaps for a while in my organization, you know, we were doing 30-minute visits, and then it sort of shifted to 15 to 20-minute visits. And with that, a lot of people did not change the way that they were working. That is, they were still, you know, trying to cram in the amount of problems, you know, that they as primary care providers were dealing with into less time, rather than deciding that they needed to change what they were willing and able to cover, you know, what boundaries they were willing and able to set with patients based on the facts of how the workload had changed from their organization. So their organization may or may not have explicitly ever said, hey, your notes should be exactly as they were. You should cover exactly the same number of problems. For example, in a primary care visit, you know, should answer all the patient's questions about all of the things that they bring to you. But we have often adapted that mindset where we feel like we need to cover everything, and we may not have changed that as our situation has changed. So, you know, is this workload something that is actually required of you, or Have you just sort of held on to perfectionist tendencies and ideas about the way things should be? And, you know, that comes at odds when something in your workload shifts, you know, based on external factors. So I think that's really important to think about. And I'll give you an example of where I saw this come up not too long ago. One of my clients was talking about how she is RVU based and she works in the hospital setting and she is expected to complete a certain number of RVUs per day. And she said that that number was 18. So she's expected to do 18 units of RVUs per day, whatever that amount of work is. And she was routinely doing 24 units per day. So her employer never required that. She was working, you know, far above, you know, what was required. No one was pushing her to do that, but she had come to, you know, believe that that was kind of the normal amount of work. And so every day she was pushing herself to complete 24 units. And, you know, of course this comes at the cost of other things, right? The cost of getting home from work on time, of, you know, completing charting in a reasonable timeframe. And so she really found herself exhausted. And, you know, being a hospital-based physician, she was working a week on and a week off. And so it would take her quite a while to recover, you know, when she was on her week off. And would we call it quiet quitting if we said, well, what happens if you go from 24 units to 20 units or, you know, even 18 units, which is what was required? Is that quiet quitting, or is that really trying to, you know, set new boundaries for yourself and sort of challenge yourself to do that amount of work? Is that doing the bare minimum? It's probably still doing more than that, right? She's still doing high quality work. She's no longer pushing herself to overachieve and pushing herself in a way that, you know, is incompatible with sort of completing a reasonable amount of work for the day. So thinking about it from, you know, kind of those elements. And then the third thing I would ask you to consider is, how are you viewing yourself as you change? So if you are making changes and, you know, you have this sort of idea of quiet quitting, it sounds like everybody's doing it, and so I should do it too. You know, again, this sort of gets back into that defeat versus sufficiency. Are you thinking of yourself as lazy? Are you thinking of these things as, you know, sort of a giving up, throwing up your hands sort of idea? Or are you really thinking of, you know, I'm a highly valued, highly capable, highly skilled, highly knowledgeable, you know, professional, and I realize that the way that I have been overworking is not helpful. It's not healthy for me. It's keeping me from doing other things in my life that I would like to do. Where are you coming as you are making those changes? Because I think if we really sit down and look at that, there's an opportunity for you to say, you know, I can see that I've got this much volume that's coming to me from my employer, that I have this number of patients to see, or my visits are supposed to be this long, and I have been trying to squeeze in more work than is reasonable to the number of patients I'm seeing per day or the amount of time that I have allotted to those patients. Is there an opportunity not to throw up my hands and say it doesn't matter anymore, not to do sloppy work, not to be haphazard, but to say, I have been doing more work than is reasonable, and I'd really like to make a change for me because I'm important, because my life is important, because I want more than simply showing up to work and serving all the people and not really valuing myself, valuing my time. You can see there's a tremendously different energy that goes into answering that question. And although we may sort of, you know, think of ourselves sort of sheepishly or think that, or, you know, perhaps feel guilty about cutting down on the intensity or the amount of work, often, you know, there's really this opportunity there to say, I am important. I am enough. And it's okay for me to decide that I no longer have to give 130%. And I'd love to say when 100% will do, but knowing how we are, I'm going to say, let's cut it back to 110% because that will still feel like a B minus to most of us. Think about how this idea lands with you. Does it make you feel nauseated? What do you think are the opportunities there? Are you really looking at what is being asked of you for the day? Are you really seeing that as the truth? Or are you still sort of stuck on how you think it should be? And I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. You know, again, when I was an employed physician, I was typically on 20-minute patient visits, and I was probably routinely spending 30 to 40 minutes with each patient. I couldn't see the 20 minutes as being valid. I was often looking at that and saying, well, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem like enough. My patients deserve more than that. People need more of me than that. And so I was giving it to them, but, you know, at a cost to myself, right? Because of course, that meant that I never ate lunch in the middle of the day. It meant that I never left on time, you know, that I often was running late, getting home to my family, you know, often was charting after hours. And I don't want to say that I think that, you know, a certain amount of time is right, you know, for visits. That varies tremendously by specialty, you know, varies tremendously by where you are, what kind of a system you're working in. Are you private practice? Are you employed? Are you rural? Are you in a city? Do you have a lot of specialists? Do you not have a lot of specialists, right? There's so much variation that we can't, you know, just make a right or wrong. But I was refusing to look at the situation as it was, right? The reality that I had 20-minute visits, that I was constantly trying to shove too much into that time, that I was not setting limits with my patients, that I had a lot of unconscious or subconscious thinking about 20 minutes wasn't right, it wasn't enough, that how on earth could I cram all the things in, right? And then I would try and do my best, but I would come at a cost of me. And yes, it's true that my patients really liked that, but it still wasn't very reasonable for the situation that I had. And so that's what I invite you to look at with your situation. And I don't want to suggest that that's an easy thing to look at, but with, again, you know, the volume or how your schedule is crafted, or, you know, if there's a RVU productivity sort of model, like, are you doing a work, amount of work that is reasonable for what you are sort of supposed to be doing based on your employer's model? Are you doing too much? And I would say very few of us are probably doing too little. We're probably much more on the doing too much, continuing to, you know, write our notes as though someone's standing over our shoulder and attending, looking at our notes as though we're a student or a resident or fellow, trying to make it all perfect, trying to cover as much as we can, to cram as much as we can in, and how that's unreasonable. So it doesn't have to be this notion of throwing your hands up in the air, of, you know, feeling this tremendous amount of defeat and deciding that you're, you know, to hell with it, you're just not going to do it anymore. It could be really coming from a place of deciding that 20 minutes of your time, skills, and expertise, if that's what you have, is enough. And that's going to require some agenda setting with your patients. It's going to require some expectations. It's going to require you setting some boundaries and sticking to them, which is unpopular with people, right? That's not just true of patients, of course. Setting boundaries is uncomfortable with anyone. You set boundaries with your kids, sometimes they're going to rally against you. If you set boundaries with your family members, sometimes they're going to be mad at you, especially when those people have been able to take advantage of your time or your energy, or your money or any other number of things for a long time. And now you're deciding to set some boundaries. So I'm not going to say it doesn't come with some discomfort, but what I am saying is that that discomfort may be worth it in terms of how you get to feel, of how you get to come to it from a place of sufficiency, of enoughness, and not from a place of lack or defeat. So I want you to think about this with your situation. I want you to think about what might be possible for you. Can you imagine a day where you are doing your medical work, whatever that looks like, or doing whatever other role that you do, and that you're doing enough, that you're doing the right amount of work for how your day is designed, and not a whole bunch extra? I'm not going to say 0% extra because I know you, but I want to say, you know, that you're doing enough and just a little bit more. What does that open up for you in your life? If you're not constantly feeling overwhelmed, if you're not constantly feeling like the victim of your time and your schedule and what other people are needing for you, is there a possibility for more joy, for more play, for more rest, for more calm? You know, at the cost, yes, of some discomfort of setting boundaries, at the cost of discomfort of trying and failing to, you know, make some changes in what you're doing, because it's not always going to go smoothly, right? Anybody who's worked on trying to chart more effectively can say, yeah, that's kind of hard going. It's a challenge. That doesn't mean we have to give up. That means we have an opportunity to keep trying to tweak it and make it better for us. All right. Well, that is the episode for today. I want to say a big shout out to my friend, Lynn, who when I was sort of running ideas by her for today's episode, she said, yes, talk about that. Talk about quiet quitting. I keep reading about it. So thanks, Lynn, for rallying me on for today. I hope you have a wonderful week. And please, if you like this episode, if you like any of the episodes, please be sure to share it with a friend. Please leave me a review, especially on Apple iTunes. When you leave a review and a rating for the show, that helps others to find it. You know, it's all the magic of all the algorithms. So please, the more you sort of chatter about it, the better it is for people to be able to find it and be helped as well. Have a beautiful rest of your day. And until next time, see you later. Bye.
Well, that's our show for today. Thank you as always for listening. To learn more about my coaching programs, head to www.healthierforgood.com. And if you love this podcast, please drop us a review on iTunes or support the show by clicking the link in the show notes. Until next time, take care.